7 days walking. It's a project that features 7 recordings. 6 of them are available via streaming, and then in the fall, all 7 will become a box set just in time for the holidays. Day 1 is the first physical recording. The idea came to Ludovico Einaudi last winter. Every day he went for long walks in the snow following the same route. He began to lose himself in a state of meditation, and then he realized that every day he was seeing something slightly different, something he hadn't seen before. It was similar, he recalls, to the creative process, when you're searching, when you're lost, and when you eventually discover something. He began to think of his walks as variations on the same theme. Seven days walking, day 1. It's this episode of New Classical Tracks from American Public Media with Ludovico Einaudi. I'm Julie Amacher. I'm talking with Ludovico Einaudi about a new project he's working on. Welcome, Ludovico.
Thank you. Thanks.
As I was reading through everything about you, it occurred to me that a lot of people have heard your music, but they may not realize it. So I thought it would be great if we introduced you to our listeners who may not know who you are. And I wanted to kind of start at maybe the beginning, when you were growing up in Italy, and how your mother would play the piano for you. And I was wondering how that impacted maybe who you are today.
Yes, I was born in Torino, and I was born in 1955, so I grew up in the 60s. And my father was a publisher, so a lot of our life was around culture, but more regarding books. My mother, on the other side, was coming from a musical family, because her father was a conductor and also a composer that during the war he immigrated to Australia. So I never actually met him, but she was playing piano at home, and I think for her music was a way to, in a way, to find a space in herself from the overwhelming position of my father. So it was a space of freedom for her, but at the same time, it was, music was also connected with the loss of her father, because her father was very far away. At a certain point, he died. So music was for her a way to connect emotionally with his father. And so I remember I was listening, even sometimes unconsciously, because when you're a child, you listen to things that happens around you without knowing they are there. But at a certain point, I remember I started to listen to this piano that was around me all the time, like a fireplace. And I remember I was connecting with my emotions through the sound of the piano of my mother.
It was interesting to hear you use the idea that she used it to create space for herself, because that's really what your music does. It helps to create a space for those who are appreciating it, even in a concert setting. Is that how you imagine it as well?
I think, yes, there's a moment in the concert, and also in the way people, I think, listen to my music, but also in the way I make music, that create a sort of different space from life, where you can, where I personally stay most of the time, and I enjoy staying there most of the time. That is a space that is my sphere, and I enjoy to stay there because it's a peaceful place. It's where I put my emotions, my visions, where my vision of the world also is. And actually, I'm a peaceful person, and I I like to be connected with the others, but music for me it's a very free space also, where I can say everything and nobody tells me what to do. And this is beautiful, because outside the world is very tough, and I see people that are all the time connected with things that they have to do, and I feel very lucky that I created this space that is also my work.
I'm thinking about one of your other big influences, which is the avant-garde composer Luciano Barrio, and how he helped you to explore music in a very open way. And that seems to fit in exactly with what you're describing here as what your music has become. Can you talk a little bit about how he helped you to learn that?
Yes, of course. When I was younger, I was studying classical music. At the same time, I was exposed to the music of the 60s and 70s. And I remember my mother that was playing classical music, but at the same time, she loved, she introduced me to Satisfaction of the Rolling Stones. And so she was at the same time very open to different type of music. She loved folk songs, and so I grew up also with my older sister listening to Bob Dylan and the Beatles, etc. So this became naturally a sort of DNA for me. I was very open to all different kind of music. I was just looking for good music. I wasn't very much interested about dividing the music into different genres. I was just looking for good music. And when I was studying, I found in the music of Berio something that I didn't hear in other composers of the time, because I could feel that there was in his work a connection with sometimes with folk music, with jazz, with popular music. And so I tried hard to get in touch with him, and I was lucky to be able to meet him, and I was very lucky, because the day we met, he offered me to work with him. So I started to work with him as I was doing transcriptions for him, but he was very friendly with me. So there was a beautiful relation that started between us, between the maestro and me, that I was learning like in the Renaissance relation, where you're going to the maestro and you are working at his house, in his studio, and sometimes you have a break. And of course, we are Italian, so we like to cook also and spend some nice moments of preparing maybe a good pesto between one score and the other. And with Berio was great, because I think he was never talking about music in terms of being too technical. Most of the times he was talking about something else to describe music. I remember once we were in the countryside, and there was a beautiful group of birds drawing an incredible movement in the sky, and they were flying all together, then they were spreading, and then they were coming back. And Berio was looking at them, and I was there, and he told me, it could be very interesting if you could make a transcription for a group of strings of what these birds are doing. So this to explain, to show you the idea that sometimes he was looking at architecture or a painting, and he wanted to transform a different idea from another world into music. And this, I think, apart from all the technical secrets that I learned watching him, I think there was an approach that stayed with me, and it's still with me.
It sounds like transcribing your experiences is exactly what you're doing with your new project, 7 Days Walking. I know the first recording is officially out, at least I have it in my hand, and there's going to be 7. Tell me a little bit about this project and how it evolved through your daily walking.
Well, I started to think at this project in the winter between 2017 and December the 17 and January 18. I was in a break from my touring, and I was trying to get back to my normal life. So I usually love to walk in the mountains or in the countryside when I'm in the countryside, but in that moment I was in the Alps, in the Swiss Alps, and I was listening to a lot of my sketches while doing these walks and trying to figure out something for my next project. And the thing that I had in mind was that I wanted to do something different from the previous project Elements, that was with a lot of instruments, with a lot of colors, but this time I wanted to create a very small interactive ensemble. I decided to focus on the idea of a trio, because a trio is very, it's a very flexible ensemble, because you can really move like you are alone, but you are interacting with 3 people, of course, and it's more rich than being alone. And of course, this is connected with 2 musicians that I've been working with for 10 years now. One is Federico Mecozzi, a violin player, and Redi Haza, that plays the cello. And with them, there is incredible contact when we are playing together. I feel there's a unity in what we do that is magnificent for me. I wanted to create a sort of musical route, a musical moment that was without interruption. So to create like a continuum, like a almost like a suite where you arrive to a moment and then you change maybe the gear, but it's all part of one idea that develops and change through time. Actually, I realized that when I was thinking at that, it was very similar to what I was doing in my walks. Because when you're doing a walk, you start from home, you go there, you pass by a little lake, then there's a bridge, then you go, you pass on a valley, then there's a field, then the road continues. The round, the circle goes back to, and you're back home after maybe 2 hours. And what I liked about my walks is that they were very similar. The route was the same, but every day there was a different weather. Sometimes there was a lot of snow. I couldn't almost see the road. And this was, in a way, similar to the search that I had inside, the difficulty that I had in my mind to see clearly where I wanted to arrive. Sometimes the sky was clear and I could see, and this is similar to, again, where my mind was going. I could see where my musical route was going. So I felt connected with this idea, and I thought that the metaphor of the walking was very good for what I wanted to do. Then I went to the countryside after a couple of months with this idea. I invited my musicians, and we started to create. I put the themes on the floor, and I said, "Okay, now we are going here. We start with a small circle, with a small walk, and we played for 20 minutes." And I said, "Okay, this is fine. Now we add 5 more minutes, and maybe we take a detour and we come back on the same with the same road." And then after, at the end of the day, the circle was of around 1 hour, and in 3 days we recorded 7 different versions, and I started to listen to them in the following days. And actually, it was quite difficult and beautiful to hear that every version had a different, a slightly different approach. There were some variations in one that were not in the other. One maybe in a part was lingering more around an idea, and the other one was cutting. There was a new coda or a new introduction that was not in the first version. So actually, I started to enjoy listening to these versions, and instead of saying, "Okay, I will use this and not that," I decided, why not involve everybody in my process, and why not let this music live? And I think maybe the people that are listening to what I do will enjoy the fact that they can listen to 7 different variations of a same idea. I like very much, for example, I think it's Cézanne that was painting the same mountain for 20 years. And every time he was painting the mountain, there was a different light. So it's beautiful to watch the different versions of the same view. And I like the idea that you can enter into this realm of music. It's like a kingdom. It's like a garden where you at a certain point you get lost. You don't know where you are anymore. And but I think if you like the space where you are, you can stay there not for 1 hour, but more.
You also took pictures along the way with a Polaroid camera, and that is one way in which you noticed how, even though you were going on this same walk, there were subtle changes that you were able then to reflect in the music. Would you talk more about that?
Yes, I really enjoy taking pictures, and it's a passion that I had since I was a teenager, because my father gave me, when I was I think 12 or 13, a Rolleiflex, and then in the last years it came back, this passion, and I do a lot of film photography. So every time I'm around, I think also for the kind of work I do, I have a lot of time sometimes when I'm traveling and I'm in a different place. I like to take walks with my camera and just be by myself. It's a way to record moments and remember places and just reflect. So in the mountains, I was taking pictures during my walks, and it was interesting because sometimes looking at them, placing all of them on the table, I was noticing that sometimes there was a sort of repetitive vision of the same places, but from different perspectives. So For example, I was close by to a little airport, and there was a wind flag that tell you where the wind direction is. And I took different photos of this flag from different angles and from different distances. And it's very interesting because, well, you see the same object, but every picture has a different approach, a different background, and it's a bit like the variations that I do with the music.
I would like to talk about some of the tracks, some of the pieces on day one of your new project.
So, for example, the Path of the Fossils. This is connected to a memory of my childhood when I used to have walks with my father. And we used to go, there's a place, this is in Piedmont in Italy, where if you walk high between the hills, between the vineyards, there's a place where I remember once in a while, very rarely, we could find some shells, fossils of shells, because in that area, like of Italy, many, 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 many years ago, there was the sea.
7 days walking, day one. Day one of 7 days walking starts with Low Mist, the first variation, then we hear the second variation at the end. I'm curious about what happens in the middle. Pieces like Gravity, for example. Can you describe to me what we're hearing there and maybe the visual image that accompanies that?
Well, it's quite difficult to say that. I mean, I could describe anything that I want, but I prefer to have the music and one title that maybe is just suggesting something. But I think it's more interesting if everyone add with imagination the story around it. I think it opens more, it leaves a mystery around it, and I think this is part of my poetic vision, and I think if I wanted to say something more, I would have written something, but actually I prefer to, I think it will spoil it. To say too much.
Day one of 7 days walking, a meditative journey with composer, pianist Ludovico Einaudi. That's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media, with special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. I'm Julia Macher.